Episode number 268, Creating a Great Guest Experience with Jeanette Yates. Let's do it.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
Well, hey guys, welcome to the Making Sunday Happen podcast, the definitive podcast for those who plan, create, and execute worship experiences at churches all around the globe. This week's episode of our show is brought to you by Samaritan's Purse. Their Operation Christmas Child project is in full swing, and I want to encourage you to lead your church and your volunteer teams to get involved in this project. They send shoebox gifts to millions of kids every year, bringing the gospel directly to them and also giving locals tools to disciple people in their region. It's an amazing ministry. You'll hear more about it in just a minute. On this week's episode of our show, we welcome my friend Jeanette Yates. Jeanette works with the team at Text in Church to help churches follow up with their guests in an effective way. And I'll be talking to Jeanette today about how to create a great guest experience. Before we move on to my interview with Jeanette, I want to bring back our mailbag segment of the show. Now, this is a segment that we did for a while where we asked you to send in testimonies and questions that you might have. So I'm going to highlight a church or share some things that you guys might be doing at your church that would be great for others to hear. So here we go. Let's mailbag it up. This week, I'm going to share a praise from my friend Marna from Life Austin in Austin, Texas. Marna says, "We have had our biggest attendance for the entire year on Labor Day weekend, holiday weekend. Bigger attendance than pre-COVID. So amazing. Even in the midst of all the crazy, our campus is thriving." That's incredible, Marna. You guys keep up the amazing work that you're doing there in Austin. We love you guys. Thank you so much for sharing that praise with us. If you would like to send in a praise to share what God is doing at your church, or if you have a question, you're welcome to email me directly at carl@1230.media, or you can find me on social media. I would love to hear from you. All right, my chat with Jeanette Yates is on the way right after this. Check this out. Hey guys, I had the opportunity recently to interview a member of the Samaritan's Purse team. We have partnered with them to connect churches to Operation Christmas Child and how you can get involved. Their website is samaritanspurse.org/OCC to get more information. I chatted with a member of their team to share with you some of the stories that they are seeing each year. Check this out. Hey guys, today I welcome Isabella McMillan on the line. Isabella grew up during the communistic regime in Romania, when even attending a church could have resulted in death. Finding a hidden Bible in her home, she and her brother began secretly attending church weekly. When she was 13 years old, she received an Operation Christmas Child shoebox gift. For her, the gift was life-changing because it confirmed God's existence and unconditional love. She finally understood that this God that she was reading about in the Bible cared for her. And since that day, Isabella has come to the United States and introduced the Shoebox Project to churches, schools, and her own children. I welcome Isabella on the line. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited to hear your story today.
Thank you so much for having me, Carl.
Now, give us a little bit of a background. I talked with Jason Taft last week from the Samaritan's Purse team about how Operation Christmas Child is really a unifier and a mobilizer for eternal impact, especially that unification piece. I love how it really brings together pastors and churches from all denominations, from all kind of walks and everything, especially with the division that we're seeing a lot in our culture now. This can be a great project to unify people. So tell us a little bit. I know I read a little bit about your story, but tell us a little bit about your story and how you're connected with Operation Christmas Child now.
Well, Carl, my story starts back, like you said, in communist Romania. And for me, that shoebox was such a tangible representation of God's love. You know, we grew up in a way that we didn't have Christmas gifts. We didn't have birthday gifts. We lived in severe poverty. My parents were hardworking people. They worked in a factory their entire lives, 14-hour days, 6 days a week. But they barely could provide food on the table. And so gifts for us was not something that we could get. And also living in spiritual darkness and oppression, we didn't have the hope that we have today through Jesus Christ. And so finding that hidden Bible that you mentioned and God starting to slowly penetrate the spiritual darkness around us in that way. But as a 13-year-old, after going to a small underground church for a couple of years before that and starting to learn more about God, I wanted God to really show me that he's real, that he's not just stories on the page of this book we found in the floorboard of our house. Mm. And this little colorful gift, I mean, it was like a splash of color entering our black and white world. Everything was always gray around us and just gloomy. And it was this colorful box, you know, that's being put in my hands, freely given, no strings attached. That was not something we were used to. And I still remember the lady who handed me this box. I asked her, why would you give this to me? And she said, this is freely given to you, just like God's grace is freely given to every single one of us. And in that simple little shoebox, God came alive to me. And the best way I can describe it, Carl, is just by simply saying that I knew stories about God through the Bible that we were reading. And I knew the happenings in the Bible. But there's such a big difference in knowing about him or knowing him. And to me, that moment was that connection when all that head knowledge about God traveled those critical 18 inches down to my heart. And I understood that he's a God who knows me and who hears me and knows my name. And so when you pack a shoebox, you allow that opportunity for children, for Christ to come alive. And that's what happened for me personally. Good.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Again, guys, SamaritansPurse.org/OCC is the website, SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Isabella, thank you so much for hanging out with me today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, and thanks for packing.
Hey guys, today I welcome Jeanette Yates. Jeanette is was the former director of communications at Hendricks Avenue Baptist Church and is now the communications director at Texton Church. Jeanette, welcome. Welcome to Making Sunday Happen. Thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Now, we are recording this way early, so I want to congratulate you guys on the Engage conference and also thank you for having me at the conference, and you guys had an enormous response, and it went just really well for you guys.
Yeah, it was really a great experience. We were so blessed to have so many different thought leaders and experts in the communications, church communication space, including you, come and share different aspects of church communications with our pastors and ministry leaders that were joining us for the conference. So, you know, each person brought their own expertise. You talked about guest experience, as I remember, right? Did you talk about...
Yeah, guest experience.
There were 35 plus people. So,
why don't you remember mine? Come on, now. I'm just kidding.
I remember it was done very well. So I almost said it was about video too, probably, but because that's another area you're an expert in as well. So,
thanks. Well, you guys do a great job with that. Why don't you kind of give us a little bit about how you serve at Texton Church and what Texton Church is for those who may not know.
Well, so like you said, I am a former church communications director for a local church. I actually have served in two different churches, both of which I have strong connections with. One, the Southside United Methodist Church, I'm a member of, and then the Hendricks Avenue Baptist Church is where I grew up. And so I kind of had these personal connections with these. So I love both of these churches. And I was serving them as the communications director. And as you know, serving in the local church, whether you're the communications director or pastor or whoever, you tend to get overwhelmed. And so I was always looking for ways to kind of help myself and my pastors serve their community and serve our members well. And I came across Text in Church as a solution for that. And what I learned about them at the time is, you know, Text in Church is a software that helps churches stay connected with their communities and members through a texting platform. And so we're really all about creating strategies and implementation for pastors and ministry leaders to be able to really follow up with their church guests that come and also to connect with their members throughout the week. So, you know, I really needed that as part of my job. And so we started using Text in Church, and I just honestly was blown away by their the way they treated their members, their, you know, customers. And I remember thinking, gosh, if they're making me feel this way, you know, this is what I want our guests to feel like. And so fast forward a few years, I'm now serving and working with them and helping other churches learn about how to make their guests feel known, noticed, and loved, just the way I felt known, noticed, and loved as a member. And I hope that I'm making, you know, that connection with our members as well.
Well, that's a perfect segue into what I want to talk with you about today, and that is the guest experience. So we serve the church with their worship experience, and what we believe is that the worship experience is from the parking lot to the parking lot. It's the entire journey that someone takes, you know, from their car to when they get in their car to leave on a Sunday. And if you were to take this into the streaming world, it would be when they turn on the stream to when they turn off the stream, the entire thing. So it's not just that, you know, hour of time that you're planning. It needs to bleed over on both sides as well. Okay, so one of the categories that we hit is that first impressions team. So when they get out of their car and they're walking in, I really want to talk with you about some of those things, about how to make a good first impression and why that's important. So set us up here. Why is it good to have a good guest experience at our church?
Well, in addition to just coming at it from that, you know, fellowship of believers, you know, we as Christians want to love everyone. That's one of the reasons why we want to create a good guest experience, is because we want them to feel known, noticed, and loved. But in addition to that, on a more kind of, if you kind of have a business mindset or think of it like this, you know, the people in our world today, us included, we're used to having personalized guest experiences when we go places. So a church is not just competing, or I don't even want to use the word compete because that sounds a little, I don't know.
Yeah.
We're people aren't just comparing us with other churches, I guess I should say,
right,
when they're coming to visit. They're comparing their experience with us just like they do when they go to a restaurant or when they attend, you know, when they go on vacation or something like that. And so we want to show that we're thinking about their experience that they're having just like the hotel that they stay at would, or the restaurant that they're going to for a nice dinner does, things like that. And so we need to, as the church, demonstrate that we've thought about this ahead of time, that we've thought about them ahead of time.
Right.
And so I think that's one of the reasons it's kind of even more in the forefront now, is people aren't just coming saying, oh, well, this is like every other church I've been to, so it's fine. They're saying, why is no one telling me what to do? Where am I supposed to... They're expecting this service. So,
yeah. And I think that some places are using technology. I'm not talking about churches. I'm talking about other things are replacing the guest service with technology. Here's what I mean. You go to a fast food restaurant and the McDonald's now, instead of walking up to the counter, I'm supposed to walk up to the menu board, hit in my order, and then I have a number and I can go to the table. Which sometimes that's good, but I think sometimes it might take away the personal touch. So how can the church be different in that regard, where it's a personal touch? And I want to walk through your known, noticed, and loved, but maybe you can kind of walk me through that. How are we different in that regard? Does that make sense?
Yes. And, you know, I do agree with what you said about this kind of like idea that, you know, and I think a lot of people have that impression that technology and using technology does take away that personal connection. And that's what we don't want as the church. We want to create that personal connection, which is why at Text and Church, we, you know, the platform that we have and the system that we have encourages pastors and ministry leaders to not use the technology to replace the right. connection, but to enhance it.
Right.
So for example, we have a, one of the things that we have, and we're talking about this guest experience, and you said parking lot to parking lot, but I'm thinking, what about even before they get to the parking lot? Mm-hmm. And, so we have a feature at Text and Church called a plan a visit feature, and you can actually set up a card, if you were like a connection card to go on your website where people can plan their visit ahead of time so that before they get to the parking lot, you know, they know where it is
right.
and they know how to get there.
Right.
Or they know like maybe which one's closer to the children's area versus, you know, the main sanctuary, depending on what they need, for example. And, yeah. and so when we set that up, you know, that is a reaching out to the guests that come to the website so that we can get more information about them. So then we can reply back to them in a text or an email with feedback and information that will help them when they come to the parking lot.
So one thing that we've done for you guys is create welcome videos that land in that spot.
Yes.
And we've created a couple of generic ones that people can kind of see as this is something that you could do. But I want to encourage people, and this isn't a sales pitch, but it might be a tool that you can use is to place a video on that card or somewhere on your website there that will explain, hey, this is what our church is. This is what we're about. This is what you're going to expect when you come, that sort of thing. So how have you seen video been used on a plan your visit feature?
Well, we have two places in that plan a visit feature that you can use it. So you can put it where, like when someone clicks on the button that says plan a visit, a pop-up comes up and you can have a video there that's kind of an introduction like, oh, thank you so much for planning your visit. Here at such and so church, we do this, that, and other. And what I love about video is you don't have to say it all. It can be in the background. It can be B-roll where you're showing them so you're not having to say all of the things and take up a lot of time because you don't want them to have to watch a 5-minute video before they just give you their information. You're just starting the conversation here. So that's one thing. So the video kind of takes a lot of information and compresses it into a 1-minute story. And then another place that you can have a video is at the end when the confirmation page comes up, you can have that video that then gives them a little bit more information and tells them, hey, be sure to check your email because we'll be sending you some more information to help you with your visit.
Right.
So that's, you know, another thing. Again, it doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to tell the whole story. You're just starting the conversation and you want them to. Another thing it does is it shows the real people of your church, hopefully,
yes. yep,
that you're
correct.
Showing like the connections pastor or the main or the lead pastor or, you know, a member of your serve team. If you have like a big team, maybe you use one of them so that they're seeing maybe the t-shirt that the serve team is going to wear and kind of what to expect and all that kind of stuff.
So I want to say this delicately. I think that sometimes if you do a video or your presentation in that whole experience is done poorly, it can also make a very bad first impression. So if you're watching a video and it's done by, I'm just going to say a volunteer who may not know what they're doing, it could look great. But I'm the video or the web experience, if that's done poorly, it could create a bad first impression. Like, ooh, I don't want to go there. Do you speak to that?
Well, I will say that you know, your website is your first impression. It is that front door. Mm-hmm. And so whoever and however you're doing your website needs to be speaking directly to, especially that front page that people are going to go to first.
Yeah.
Speaking to mm-hmm. your guests and be easy to, it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to have all the information in the world. Remember, you're just trying to open that front door. You're just trying to get the conversation started. You're just trying to open the front door. Yeah. And so, you know, keeping it simple and clean is important. And then if you choose to do a video, and this may be, you know, this is something you have to decide. Do we have what it, you know, do we have the resources available? And that includes human resources. Like, do we have a person that can do this? And you know what? One of the great things about recording video, and you know, then you know, you can get it to someone to like fancy it up, right? Like, you know, but you know, you can record pretty great video on a smartphone.
Correct.
And so it doesn't have to be expensive to look good. As someone who is talking about this, you know, from a guest experience part, and you know, we do a lot of video at Texan Church too for our members and to share information as well. And one of the things that we've learned is, you know, simple is good, but also, you know, you want to plan what you're going to say, have a way to start it and a way to wrap it up, because you might get nervous and start yada, yada, yada. So you want to kind of have a framework, but you also want to be authentic and natural.
Right.
So there, that's a little like, you know, pro tip is, you know, you don't have to write out word for word, but have a little, you know, these are the three things I want to make sure I hit on in this intro. On our website or on our Smart Connect card, for example.
Right. And I would say the length would be 30 to 60 seconds would be about the prime length for these. So if you're thinking 3 to 5 minutes, don't go that long. 30 to 60 seconds. You know,
I study trends in video. Like, that's as part of what I do for my job. And one of the things they're saying, especially for 2020 and beyond, is like, we're talking short form video. Mm-hmm. People don't want to spend a minute is max.
Right.
You know, you're talking short. So,
yeah.
You know, and again, that video can help you get a lot of information in a very short amount of time because of that, whatever you're showing in the back. It could just be your voice and there'd be scenes. So, you know, it's a great way to show a lot in a little bit of time.
Yeah. And I want people to hear, like, feel free to reach out to Texan Church. Feel free to reach out to us. We're happy to help you craft that video or, you know, present it in such a way that, you know, that will be top notch. So, okay. So, let me hit on the three areas that you talked about, and that is known, noticed, and loved. So give me a little bit on each, and why are each of those things important?
So, you know, what we know from working with thousands of churches, and you know, we're all in churches ourselves, you know, we go to church. We know that people come to church often for the first time for several different reasons, a lot of which are because there something has happened. Now, that thing that has happened may be something good in their life. They've had a, you know, maybe they've gotten married or had another positive transition happening. And sometimes it's something maybe not so good, like they're experiencing a loss or a difficult time, and they want to find a place to connect. So one of the very important things we want to do as churches and as Texan Church, we want to help churches do, is help the guest feel known. So we want to know them. And again, that plan a visit feature helps us to know ahead of time. But even when they're coming there, we want to be able for our guests to experience feeling known. And the things that means is recognizing when you see someone who looks like a guest, and they don't have to have a big sign on them that says, I'm a guest. They can just be the person that doesn't seem to know where they're going. Mm-hmm. And we have to be intuitive as guest experience team members, or even just as members, honestly. You know, you don't even have to be a part of the team to welcome somebody.
Right.
You know, you can welcome them anyway. We have to be intuitive about them, to know our visitors when they come, to know them. And that kind of leads into that noticed. Like, oh, I see that's a visitor. I'm going to go introduce myself and see if I can help them. Or maybe I just don't know that person. They may be a visitor. I'm going to go introduce myself.
Right. Okay. So what about loved or noticed and loved? Do you want to speak on those a little bit more?
Yeah. So the noticed part is, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can take this, but we want to notice our guests, but we also don't want to single them out too much.
Or be too creepy.
Yes.
The creep factor.
We want to notice and recognize our guests, especially during that worship service, that worship experience, but doing it in a way that makes them feel comfortable. So again, we know from research that a lot of people are coming because they're in a time of transition. And so they might be nervous, and we don't want to necessarily, you know, make them more nervous by, you know, having them raise their hand or, you know, I don't know, whatever is, you know, I don't want to throw shade at anybody who does that, but, you know, so we want to do that. And so one of the things that Text in Church does and has created is a digital connection card. So instead of, you know, having to have this big awkward situation where they have to find out where to put the connection card when they're done filling it out, they can text the church's, you know, number, text in church number, and or text to the number a keyword, get a digital connection card sent right back to their phone, and they can fill it out right there in their seat, either right then, or maybe they can wait a few minutes and wait till after church and do it in when they're sitting in their car. You know, so it's not an intrusive thing. It's just, oh, here's a text, click on this link. It's asked three questions, your name, your email, your cell phone. That's it.
Yeah.
And then what we have as part of that, then after that would be a workflow that connects with them automatically and also reminds the pastor and staff to connect with them as well. So it kind of notices, you know, we're recognizing that we're having guests. We want to reach out to them, but we want to just, again, open that door, start a conversation, get some contact information so that we can follow up with them if they're interested in that.
Let's talk about volunteers. So how do we start with volunteers? What are some things that we can do to set them up well on our first impressions team?
So I kind of mentioned this a little bit when I was talking about the known noticed part. Mm-hmm. We want to equip our guest services team, our first impressions team, and again, eventually perhaps our whole membership to be aware of guests and know them. And we want to set them up by giving them a clear expectation of what we're looking for. And so one of the things I talk about a lot when I'm talking with churches about guest experience and training their volunteers is, hey, you know, we don't want you to give a list of job duties to your volunteers. We want you to shift that mindset from customer service. So like, I need to do these things. Check, 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 check. We want it to be more about the guest experience. So, for example, instead of the door opener person, you know, the greeter, mm-hmm. saying, okay, my job is to open the door, hand them a bulletin, and point them into the sanctuary. Those are my three jobs. That's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to open the door, I'm supposed to give them a bulletin, I'm supposed to point them into the sanctuary. They can sit wherever they want, right? A guest experience mindset would say, okay, you're here at the door. Yes, you have these bulletins. But when somebody comes in, they are not thinking about what you need to do. They're thinking about what they need to do. They need to figure out where they're supposed to put their kids. They need to figure out how the service is going to work. They need to figure out where to sit. And you're going to step into that scene and help them. So you might ask, oh, you know, are you visiting today? Would you like to, you know, do you need childcare? You know, if they have children, if not, move to step two. You know, you just kind of, and you walk them through that idea of like, you're going to step into their scene that's full of confusion. They don't know what's happening, and help answer the questions and guide them along the way. And that may mean that you actually go sit them down.
Right.
And say, would you prefer to sit in the front or the back? Would you, you know, whatever.
Right.
And so, and again, you, and we kind of talked about this parking lot thing. I just mentioned after they've already gotten in the building, but really this is starting from when they get into the parking lot because mm-hmm. they're wondering where to park. So that's why I highly recommend that there's somebody out there helping them figure out where to park. And maybe they answer that first question of where do you put your children, right?
Right.
So their job isn't just to make sure there's enough room in the parking lot. Their job is help that person get parked and then move to the next step, whether it be towards the sanctuary, the worship center, or to the children's area to drop their child off.
I think you bring up a good point that it's good for like the first impressions team encompasses all of those people. Mm-hmm. And the parking lot person needs to know about kids check-in. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of time that is disjointed. Well, I work the parking lot. That's my thing. So if I'm asking that parking lot person, hey, how do I check my kids in? They don't know. I think it's over there somewhere.
Right.
I don't know. I need to ask somebody. You need to know.
Right.
That's important.
So that's part of that training piece too. Right. I think, you know, this is just a situation that I see all the time. We have these grand ideas as churches. I mean, I was on a church, you know, I've been on church staff, you know, a couple different church staff, 7 years, you know, I've been working in churches, and we have these grand plans like, oh, we really want to help these people come to this event or this worship service, and we're going to get a bunch of volunteers, and we're going to train them. Well, then, you know, life happens and, you know, all of our people, you know, it takes us longer than we think to recruit. It takes us, you know, nobody can come to the training. And what we end up doing is the day of the event, 15 minutes before it starts, we're telling everybody what to do and where to go. And we haven't invested in them. And that's why I think taking the time to truly change the mindset of volunteers, because what you're saying when you're literally barking orders at them at the last minute is, you're not important.
Right.
I mean, honestly. And if we're telling them that, then that's going to trickle out into our guests. And right. So, yes, it takes time to recruit volunteers and it takes time to train them, but it's so important. And to back to your point, I think everybody needs to have at least a chance, you know, an understanding of all the areas. So part of the training is we are taking the guest from parking lot to parking lot, and we're drawing this line with our team to help them get there.
Right.
So I think that's very important. But you gotta train. And I do want to say, we've been talking about video a lot.
Yeah.
I know I'm a wife, a mother, you know, I've got a full-time job and I take care of my mother. I don't have a lot of time to go up to church once a week for a month to be trained. But you know what I do have time for? To watch a 5-minute training video mm-hmm. a few days a week. So you can, train people in their own homes. And yes, you want to gather the whole team together at some point, but that for that practical training, you can do that through video series.
Correct.
And those don't have to be very fancy at all. Just open up your smartphone and do one. I saw a great one around Christmas that was literally like the pastor standing in his the lobby of his worship area with a Santa Claus hat on, and somebody was holding a smartphone, and he just told, you know, he just kind of cast a vision and told his people what he needed. And then he said, and if you're on this team, there's this video coming out to you. And if you're on that part of the team, this video is coming out. And that was it. It was like a 2-minute thing. It was mm-hmm. no big deal. And then obviously based on what I heard, you know, he's going to send more videos out.
Right.
It was so easy, so much better than crowding everybody in the back of the church on the day of the event. And, you know, saying, okay, you know, you're going to go do this and you're going to go do that and we're going to get it done. Just do the best you can. Like that's not changing the mindset of our guests or our volunteers. And it's not going to go well for our guests either.
Okay. So let's speak to this. If I am a person and I'm going to, on the team and I'm going to help the guest get to kids check-in, get to their seat, whatever, when is the line crossed of being loving and helpful and the line of, okay, dude, you need to back off me. Like, Where's the creep factor line?
Well, I think one of the things that we want to do when possible is when people go to our website, and you know, whether you have a plan a visit feature or you just have a page on your website that says this is what to expect, whatever, you need to give them information that will help them. So share a picture of the parking lot, share, you know, tell them what to do next. As you know, in a short format. Again, video is a great way to do that, so that when they're coming and, you know, we have our parking lot person and the person gets out of the car, the guest gets out of the car and they said, I need to go to check in. Well, that parking lot person can't really leave his spot to go walk them all the way to the guest check-in, but there's got to be, you plan for that. You say, okay, so I, you know, the parking lot person is going to point to the big red flag that we're going to have waving out in front of the, you know, you want to put some sort of designation so that the parking lot person doesn't have to leave their spot. They can say right over there, when you get to that red flag, there will be someone standing there to help you find the right place.
I wonder if you take that one step further and give them the name of the leader in that,
right,
in that tent. You're going to talk to Billy.
Yeah, go see so-and-so. Now, when the person gets there, now, depending on how, I mean, there may be like one room, that's where all the kids go. This is less complicated. But say you have a big system, maybe the kids check in there and then go to various places. Maybe, but you need to walk through all of that. Like, what would make it easier for my guest? If my guest has three kids and they're all different ages and they all need to go to different rooms, I'm going to want to check them in one place and then help them, you know, give them directions, or even maybe have, you know what? Youth are a great resource for helping. You know, have youth designated as the runners or the
check in and run. Yeah.
Yeah. The walking back and forth, you know, you just want to think about all those things, but yes, you want to have a way to practice that handoff so that the parking lot person doesn't end up like, you know, having to walk through the whole situation, but there can be a handoff. And I love what you said about, you know, knowing the name of the person that's serving that day so you can use their name.
Yeah. So one frustration that I've had with kids check-in is they might point me to the right direction. Okay, you're going to go to that computer right there. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, what do I hit? I mean, it's fairly mm-hmm. clear, but okay. All right, now it's not working.
Right.
It's not printing the ticket. It's not doing this. I don't know where to find somebody.
Well, you shouldn't have to, because there should be somebody there, right? And
right.
you should also, please, people, if you hear anything, have a backup plan, because the Wi-Fi could go out and the system cannot work, and you still want to be able to check those children in and make the parents feel safe, you right. know, with leaving their children. So you want to have, you know, how are you going to reach out to them if the system isn't working? How are you going to gather their information, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah. So you want to have all that planned and you want to have that ready to go if that happens. You know, that actually happened to me, to us at our church when we got a whole new kids check-in system. We bought new things, you know, new screens and new scanners and all of this stuff and printers for the things. And then the week we launched it, the Wi-Fi went down. And we were kind of stuck because we had kind of invested so much time in figuring out how to use the system
right.
that we had not prepared. So that's a good word. You gotta be prepared. Yeah. But part of that is just walking through the process as if you were a guest, or have, you know, call a friend and say, hey, can you come walk this through with us?
Right, right. You know? Good. All right. Give us some ways to celebrate as a team. So I'm in the guest services first impressions team. How do we celebrate as a team? And of course, that bleeds over, because the more fun I'm going to have, the more fun people are going to see me have on the team. So give me some ways to celebrate.
Well, first of all, I highly encourage the idea of calling this group of people the team. So first impressions team, guest experience team. And help them understand that they're part of a team. They're not just the usher, the childcare worker, the mm-hmm. you know, parking lot person. They're part of this experience team, impressions mm-hmm. team. And I think it's really cool if you have the resources at your church to, when someone signs up to be part of the team, they get some sort of swag, like a t-shirt, a lanyard, a book that talks about, you know, guest experience, you know, that kind of encourages them, or, you know, something like that. And then, you know, ideally it would be every week, you would gather everybody as a team. I don't know how practical that is for every church, but it would be ideal to gather everybody as a team before, pray over everybody really quickly and have that. And then maybe once a month, you gather together just to celebrate a success. Like, oh, the other Sunday, I had this awesome thing happen in the parking lot where I was helping this woman and I ended up praying for her and it was really great, or something like that. Now, if you can't do that, maybe set up like a Facebook group for your First Impressions team where people can share their wins every week in there and share their experiences. It doesn't have to be a big deal. And then I highly recommend once or twice a year having some sort of function where you're grabbing all your team. So maybe it's your worship team and your guest services team and your childcare team or whatever, and you have a big party for all of your volunteers, a banquet or a fun party, you know, like a fun, you know, kind of more casual party, whatever your church vibe is. And do that and really just say, you know, we appreciate you. And this is, and share stories like this year, because of the work that you did as a team, creating an awesome worship experience, creating an awesome guest experience, creating an awesome children's experience or small group experience, we were able to baptize this many people. We were able to welcome this many people into our church family. You know, that shows that it's not just this like week to week implication. We're talking about eternal implications. Right. And so I highly recommend that as well, that like you know, give your end of the year report like you do in a business. You want to give your end of the year report to your teams to let them know the difference they're making in the lives of these people.
Good. All right. So as we leave today, let me ask you kind of the big picture question again. So we might repeat, but so how is a good first impression vital to the worship experience? How is it a part of the worship experience, and why is it vital?
Well, okay. So if your first impression of a church, or, you know, as a guest is not positive, then by the time they're in that pew, they're done.
Right.
They're thinking about how long is this going to last? Am I even welcome here? Do they want me here? It doesn't seem like it, because I just got kicked out of my seat because I sat in the wrong seat, because apparently this is that person's, you know. And that's not what we want. We want to remove all of this. There's so many barriers for them coming the first time anyway. They don't know where to park. They don't know what to do with their kids. They don't know what the worship service is going to be like. They don't know all these things. They're really nervous. So the more of those barriers we can remove getting them into the worship center, then they're freer to experience the worship that your worship team has created. And that's what we want. We want them to experience it, not just tolerate it.
Right.
So that's why I think it's so important.
Good. Well, Jeanette, thank you so much for your time and everything that you guys do at Text and Church. You're killing it over there, and it's a pleasure to know you guys.
Well, thank you so much. And you know, if anybody wants to come see more about what Text and Church is all about, I host live demos every Monday through Thursday. And so if you want to know more about that, you can go to our website at textandchurch.com, and you can come and hang out with me and learn more about Text and Church and how to use technology, not to replace the personal connection that you have with your church guests and members, but to enhance it and improve it.
Good. Well, thank you for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Hey guys, I wanted to let you know about my friend Steve Fogg. I'll have Steve on the podcast actually in just a few weeks, but Steve has a great Facebook ads course for churches and ministries available for you. He can help you get some nonprofit grant money for ad spending on Facebook and Google, and can help you make a greater impact in your community. Here's a little bit from Steve about his Facebook ads course and why you might consider it for your church.
Hi, and welcome to my Facebook ads course. And I just want to let you know why you should get this course. It may be that you're just starting out for your church using Facebook, and Facebook ads might seem really complicated and overwhelming to you. And if that's you, this course is perfect for you. It will give you the foundations, step by step, of how to maximize Facebook ads for your church. And it might be that you're also a little bit more advanced and you just know there's a plethora of options out there, but you just can't quite figure out how to reach your community. And if that's you, I want to encourage you to get this course as well, because I've got 10 years of experience in using Facebook Ads, Facebook Ads Manager, Facebook Business for my church. And I want to share with you everything that I've learned using Facebook Ads for my church. It's step by step, it's very practical. It's not just high level thinking, although there's a little bit of that in there to start off with, but it's very practical. It's very foundational for you if you're just stepping out into Facebook as well. So I hope this course encourages you, and I hope that your church gets heaps out of it to reach your community and make more impact.
The show notes for this episode are available now at MakingSundayHappen.com.
Well, hey guys, thank you so much for joining us this week. Next week on the show, I'll welcome my friend Dean Stilo. Dean is a former pastor and communications director. He has over 2 decades of experience as a pastor and leader in the church. He now serves as the owner of Reorient Mentoring, a ministry helping pastors and leaders be pastored too. So we'll talk about just that, how to reorient your life for what matters most. That's next week on the show. Well, thank you guys for hanging out this week. Go out there and create some incredible worship experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit MakingSundayHappen.com.